Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
I know you. I was like you once. But then I opened my eyes. Open your eyes, Captain. Why is the Federation so obsessed with the Maquis? We've never harmed you. And yet we're constantly arrested and charged with terrorism. Starships chase us through the Badlands, and our supporters are harassed and ridiculed. Why? Because we've left the Federation, and that's the one thing you can't accept. Nobody leaves Paradise. Everyone should want to be in the Federation. Hell, you even want the Cardassians to join. You're only sending them replicators because one day they can take their rightful place on the Federation Council. You know, in some ways, you're even worse than the Borg. At least they tell you about their plans for assimilation. You're more insidious. You assimilate people, and they don't even know it.
You gotta press the play button.
I'll push play when I think we've started.
Oh, God.
I don't know that we've started yet.
Oh, man.
No, we're good. Well, now it's
you're
not
just fucking
work.
It up, Jesse.
You're fucking it up, Jesse. What are you doing?
No, I made it better. Look.
Oh, see, now it works. Okay, now we can get started. Are you comfortable with that? Are you okay?
Are you okay with that, Dan?
Okay. All right.
Glowitz.
Let's Glowitz? Let's center ourselves. Ourselves. We will center
ourselves.
And we will begin the podcast.
I can't wait.
You needn't wait. We've already begun. There's no waiting necessary. Thank you, Captain.
Thank you.
No, you're welcome. Was that Garrick? That sounded Garrick-ish.
Why am I here?
All right. So.
Everyone, why am I here?
Hello, everyone, and welcome.
Hello.
That was Garrick.
Thank you. Hello, and welcome.
Why are you talking like
hello.
That?
Hello.
I don't know what you mean.
I think you know exactly what
I
mean.
No. We are starting the podcast. You know what? We have to start. We're just starting the podcast.
This is so ponderous.
It's not intended to be ponderous. You keep interrupting me. What we're doing is we're starting with a nice, low, calm energy.
Oh,
and then we can build up over time.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And so this is the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Yeah, we often say that we're going to take it easy, and we don't. So let's
We're
just going to take it easy.
We're going to talk like this the whole
It's kind of like
the whole podcast.
All right, that's enough.
Star Trek. Deep Space Nine.
So, this is the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
For the cause.
It is episode 232 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. And
it's great.
And in this episode, we will be discussing Star Trek Deep Space Nine's fourth season episode, For the Cause. Do you know which number episode this is?
This is the one right after the Muse.
Wait, okay, I know.
Muse.
And I'm not a fan of that episode, 20 by the way.
Something. It's 20 something.
I bring it up because season 4 of Deep Space Nine is a fucking nightmare when it comes to picking which what number the episode is, because everyone's got different numbers.
Because
of the Warrior.
Google.
At the beginning, Way of the Warrior sometimes is listed as one episode and sometimes as two episodes. We had
this
the same,
is wrong.
Yeah, I know. We had the same problem just recently when we discussed The Visitor, because that's the third episode or the second, depending on which numbering system you use.
You're not making this easy.
I know. I agree.
No, yeah.
Cassidy?
Yeah, The Google said it was episode 21,
yes.
And then my Paramount Plus said it was like episode 22.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're more like a parody of virtue.
To add further confusion, the setup I was using said For the Cause was episode 22, but when I started playing episode 22, it started playing episode 23.
Mm.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So you're more confused.
So I'm watching
That's
it.
That's on which
it's
Paramount?
No, it's on a Plex.
Oh.
So the way it automatically numbered things. So
completely unacceptable.
I know. You don't need to be telling me, Dan. It really was, because I watched like 5 minutes. I was like, wait a second. I was like, where's Cassidy Yates? I was like, why is there some like Jem Hadar action going on? This is crazy.
They should be hunted down and destroyed.
Yes, a lot to get to in this episode. So
was it his cuffs that were completely unacceptable on that crazy jacket he had?
What did you
Quark when he says completely?
I think it was
the pants,
or it was
no. He was talking about the cuffs.
The cuffs.
Or was it?
Can't you do something about these lapels? No, the pants.
And then the cuffs.
The pants.
Yes, I know.
Like that was a silly outfit, even for Quark.
Oh, no.
Like, Quark has like a little better taste than that. Was a little off.
He was looked like he was wearing a couch, like couch material.
Yeah,
like an old couch, like from the '50s, like one of those those old like
one of those old sexy couches,
the kind that kind
sexy.
Of suck.
Yeah, the sexy couches.
One of them old sexy.
It's all rough.
Yeah, sexy couches.
Rough and sexy.
You got to put some plastic all over it.
Yeah. Oh, we're drifting. We're drifting from the main topic of conversation.
Did you know Cassidy had a first mate who was Bolian, and his name is Brathaw?
Yeah, that dude was totally Bolian. He was blue through and through.
Okay. It's very nice.
It is very nice. All of this is very nice.
She went to the Badlands with a bowl in.
Oh, this is wild. On our Patreon thing, we did a bunch of Star Trek jokes, and I didn't realize that Jesse had apparently written out a bunch of one-liners leading into this episode.
I'm just coming up with this.
Okay, look, there's a lot to discuss about this episode.
Great.
We just have a few minor bits of business to take care of ahead of the core discussion.
I can't wait.
It will take but a moment.
But
I'm gratified to hear that.
Yeah, you ought to be. You ought to be gratified.
Oh.
So, the main thing
is very nice.
I just wanted to remind folks that we have a brand new Patreon, and we have a growing library of bonus content, and there's free previews, there's some free content.
Previews.
Everyone should go check it out, patreon.com/itsgotstartrek. A lot of really funny stuff up there, if I must say so myself.
A few funny
And things. I'm finding more and more that I am having to say
That's
so
right,
myself.
That's right, you did say that.
I know, I did. Yeah, it's wild. But totally worth checking out, even if you don't want to plunk down the $3 a month.
What do you mean?
If you're not into that, you can still get some fun out of it by checking it out.
What do you mean?
I think last week we had something about penis ASMR.
It's just a crazy idea.
Oh, and there was the Ernest. There was some sort of Ernest Goes to Camp business.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The thing is we record these conversations and then we forget it all, which has the benefit... as
because of drugs,
as the benefit of making it fun to go back and listen and be like, oh, that was delightful. That was pretty good. Anyway,
that's right. You did say that.
Go check it out if you get chance.
I can't wait.
And then I did want to remind folks that, you know, these are evergreen podcasts, but we are also recording them in real time. So
it's very nice.
Discovery's fifth season's coming up. It's starting on April 4th. Our podcast discussing the first episode of the fifth and final season will be up April 8th.
Oh, snap.
Something to look forward to. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. I know there's been some early reviews coming about at least the first chunk of the episodes. And so far, it's getting fantastic reviews.
Yeah, I don't really know anything about it.
Me neither. I've been trying to keep it relatively clear. So you can't really tell much from the previews. Just I'm like, oh, crazy stuff. But we'll see. We haven't seen it yet, but I'm hoping for the best. I'm excited for that. So that's coming up. Mm-hmm. And finally, we have one voicemail this week from our old friend Jesse at the Open Pike Night podcast. And he has a question for us, or a comment from way, way back.
Oh, no.
From an episode
back. Wait, this is an old thing?
No. The question is new, but it's in reference to...
It's a reference to the way back?
To episode 194.
Oh no!
It's a new. Right. It's new. It's a new question about the way back.
How about 194 of our episode of our pocket podcast?
Yes, of our pocket cast.
Getting nervous.
All right.
That was Strange New Worlds.
Yes, Strange New Worlds among the Lotus Eaters. All right. Here's Jesse's.
I see.
Jesse's question or comment.
Hello to my subtle buddies at the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Hello.
This
Hello,
is
buddies.
Jesse from Open Pike Night, and I have been, let's just say, binging your past episodes. Yes, I've already heard most of them, but you know what? They're fun enough to listen to again.
Yeah,
so I figured a good place for me to start, obviously, would be Strange New Worlds. and I was recently listening to episode 194 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast, in which you discuss the episode Among the Lotus Eaters. There's a subtle thing that I feel you gentlemen may not have noticed, which isn't, you know, a criticism. It's just I'm trying to provide a little bit extra flavor so that the next time you watch Among the Lotus Eaters, maybe you'll enjoy it even more. So yes, while some of the details as to what people did and didn't remember due to the radiation from Rigel 7 were a little squishy, I think that the detail of Spock not being able to read the pad wasn't necessarily that Spock forgot how to read. I think this is a subtle callback to the fact that Spock has dyslexia, which is something that we learn in Star Trek Discovery. Not a big deal, but one of those things where, as I was listening, I was like, oh, do I get to share a fun detail with the It's Got Star Trek guys?
You did.
Because usually you cover like every possible avenue, and you're very good at making allowances for maybe I didn't notice this thing, maybe something else was intended.
Totally true.
So I'm so excited to share an additional detail with you guys that might improve your enjoyment of Among the Lotus Eaters. And I'll just close this out by saying, keep up the good work, guys. I download your new episode the minute it comes out every Sunday night because of my time zone shenanigans. And you guys really are kind of my favorite Star Trek show that I'm not a part of. Caveat. Let me just throw that out there.
Which time zone is it?
Thank you, It's Got Star Trek, for so many hours of wonderful Star Trek entertainment.
Well, thank you very much, Jesse.
Thank you.
As always. And good point. I do agree. Now, it is a very long time ago.
Thank like, you.
I have no,
thank you, Colonel.
No recollection of what we discussed in that
thank
episode.
You.
But I do remember the episode of...
I don't remember knowing thanks. That Spock had dyslexia.
I didn't remember that episode either.
Well, so I remember the dyslexia thing on thank Discovery, you. And I think that was when Spock was a little kid, is when they first... they were like okay. saying how he wasn't learning as
was
well.
Was he riding around on his Saylot?
No. Yeah. Well, he had a bunch of weird toys.
There's an old quote, Dan, of yours from the podcast where you're yeah. mimicking Spock saying Achaya. Something about like... riding his Saylot in La Man- not La Mancha.
Oh yeah, the Saylot in La it was, in, yeah,
in,
I remember
in the
that.
Langhorne foothills. Something about like, you know, like I lost my Saylot in the Langhorne foothills. The
yeah, it was, I remember I saying something going off about something about a Saylot and other like letters.
That's a good one. Anyway, so if folks want to hear that, just go back
that's
and
a
listen.
Super classic one.
Yeah, listen to like
we don't remember what
it's
it is.
Probably like episode number 8 or 9 or 7 or 4 or 6, something like that. Go back and anyway. Anyway, so Discovery introduced the idea that Spock had some form of dyslexia or similar learning disability. And I agree that in the context of the Among the Lotus Eaters, where if for folks who haven't don't recall or haven't seen that episode, what happens is the away team starts to lose their memory. They don't know who they are. And then adventure happens as a result, and they have to solve that problem. I remember being, I really enjoyed that episode. But that is a good, if that's the case, if it's a dyslexia thing, and I buy that, that's a good observation, Jesse. And a good job by the writers. What a good job these writers have been doing.
All right.
Give them a round of applause.
That's a question, though, is you have to wonder if they intended that, though.
I bet they did, though. It's the kind of thing where when you hear it, you're like, because at the time, and what Jesse was responding to is in our podcast, we were perplexed as to why Spock no longer could read well. Because we're like, okay, that you can remember how to talk, you can remember how to walk, you can remember how to do all these other complicated things, but then you forget how to read. Mm-hmm. It was like a weird, you know, that was just something people thought was a little, I think we thought was a little weird. Anyway, so thank you, Jesse. Thank you for the kind comments. And we've said it many times before, but everyone should be going and checking out the Open Pike Night podcast. It focuses on Strange New Worlds, but the hosts, they're all over Star Trek, and they have excellent interviews with awesome people. So check it out. And that's it for this week in terms of voicemails, emails, and all that stuff. If y'all...
Thank you for the kind message,
if
Jesse,
y'all...
The message was on the red.
Jesse gave us a nice comment.
He
nice
did.
Message.
I know, and I thanked him for the comment. And you can
thank you.
Oh, okay. You've got to do the whole thank you.
Thank you.
All right. How many do you have now, by the way?
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks anyway.
Oh, that's sad. I didn't.
Thanks anyway.
I didn't.
Because you've been saving these up, right?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Captain.
No, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank Mr. Spock too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Colonel.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You crazy.
Thanks, Pink Skin.
Thank you.
No thanks to those Romulan vultures.
Thank you.
It's time for an evaluation.
Thanks, Agamemnon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Agamus.
Thanks to Vexilon.
Oh, thank God. Thank you.
Don't you have like a button? Couldn't you program like a macro that just randomly plays like
you.
Plays them all in some random order?
That's a good idea.
Just the thank you macro.
Yeah.
And then you could have different levels of it in terms of how many it goes through.
That'd be pretty badass.
Well, Jesse received a well-deserved all of them. Pretty much.
That'd be cool to have like a
matrix.
A soundboard button. Software that had some kind of like... what is it you just said? You push a button and it hits a random one. Like you could do like minor programming in it or something. Yeah. Not like serious shit. Just say like you give it tasks and it. Like,
I mean, why are you limiting? Yeah. Why are you limiting? This is a fantasy to begin with. Why
you
are
don't
you
want to get into too much
like,
trouble?
You're like, oh, I don't want to. You know, I want. You know, nothing too serious.
I don't want to get into trouble with.
Why
this
not do some serious programming? It's just going to be like JavaScript or something.
No. It would be like a simple menu where you could be like. You turn the flags on and off and you say, simple I want menu. This one to represent this many sounds. Yeah. I would like pressing it to do this. And if I press that, it does this. And then you hook it up in such a way that when you press one, it either presses like four of them in succession, or you press one and it like does what you said where it like... It picks a
it
random
just
one.
Fires. Well, I meant not just a random basic... one. I was saying it fires off all of them.
You should do.
But
no, I know. That's what I said. You said it picks a random one. I'm saying there's different things you could do with it because
you're good
a,
at gesturing.
Because it's
your gestures.
I was thinking
wild.
The same thing. I was thinking the same thing, Jesse. The audience at home is missing out. Dan's doing a whole performance.
We really
a mimetic performance.
We really need to do some kind of video.
You know, I was thinking one of the difficulties with doing podcast video, of course, is you need to get like, we've got three hosts. You need to get three, if not four cameras to get the different angles and stuff.
Messy.
However, rethinking this, I think we've been overthinking this.
We've done it a few times.
Because all we need to do is we just need to have one camera on Dan. There doesn't need to be a camera on either of us.
Yeah. You can just hear us off camera.
Yeah,
we're just being like, hey, Dan, you suck.
Yeah. Okay, well,
all right. I'm gonna pass.
Anyway, okay. Others, anybody else? Thank you, Jesse, and anybody who wants to send in an email, audio, whatever. You can send emails to feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. Audio, you can either go to itsgotstartrek.com/record and record up to 90 seconds for us, or just, you know, record whatever you want. Send us an MP3 or what have you. Whatever audio format you prefer. Presuming it's not proprietary to your computer. I don't know. I don't know what people do.
I don't care.
People are still coming up with proprietary codecs. I don't know if that's a thing.
Codecs.
I don't know what kids are into these days. Anyway. Yes. feedback@discussstartrek.com. All right.
They don't have proprietary codecs. They more just like, well, they have like their own version of thing. Like sound file, like music songs.
Yeah.
Music songs.
Music songs. I've heard of music songs.
Was it Museums? That was Bob's Burgers.
We're not that far into the podcast. And you're already talking a bunch of nonsense. Yes?
What did I say?
You were saying, you kept saying the phrase music songs over and over. And then there was sort of a lull. And you forgot it all.
What happened?
And then you asked me what you said. That's where I'm catching us up to now.
Oh man.
You good? You ready to talk about the episode?
I can't remember what I just can't I forgot what we were just talking about.
Well, don't worry about it.
What was it?
Let's talk about Star Trek.
I'm not lying. You were saying you kept saying music.
I'm not joking.
I know, but like there was something else I said prior to that. Okay.
All right. Well, if it comes to you, which it will, in as soon as I start talking about this episode, about 15 seconds after I start, you're going to say, ooh, ooh, and then you'll remember what you want to say, all right? So let's go through the motion of me saying, all right, time to talk
this
about...
This is so much pressure.
Time to talk about For the Cause.
For the Cause.
Calmly. We're going to talk about it calmly. It's a serious episode. It's an excellent episode. So we should approach it with respect.
Oh, yeah, the music...
Here we go.
What I was talking about is how you were saying proprietary codecs, and I'm saying like if you get like a song from Amazon service or you get it from Apple service, you know, you don't get the codec, but you get permission to use their
you get like an MPZ file.
It basically gives you permission to know their
it's like a WAV file.
They encrypt the files. They encrypt the shit and they make it so only they can do at it. Like this is not news, but like I'm trying to
that only they can do at it.
They, yeah. I'm,
again, it's early in the podcast for me to be concerned for you, Dan.
Not that early.
Okay.
No, yeah, so you get the Amazon version or you get like the Apple version, right? And it's like, you can't like, and they say you can only hold it for a certain amount of days if you're not connected to the internet, you know? And the Netflix does it with the movies and the Hulu with the movies. And you can download them, but it only works with their system, see? You don't have access to the file.
It only works with their system, see? Because
it's encrypted in their shit or something.
Right, okay.
Anyway. But that's what I'm. That's all I'm saying.
All right, that you were all, talking. Yeah. That was all you were saying.
Yeah, and you were talking about like maybe different codecs, but they probably do.
No, I was talking about the episode. I was attempting to talk about the episode for the cause.
No, you were talking about like how like wondering if they had different codecs, and that's codecs, and that's why I brought up this subject.
Yeah.
Okay, we can get back to the thing though.
Oh, great, excellent. All right, let's do that.
Let's do
then.
That.
Excuse me.
Okay, let's do that. Yeah, what is it? For the cause. For the cause.
How expensive can replicators really be?
Okay. These are industrial.
Well, they don't use money.
These are like industrial scale replicators.
Like, what are they, size of buildings or something?
Okay. Look, I get what you're saying. The Federation is going to supply Cardassia with, what was it, 12 industrial replicators.
And they only gave Bajor like 4 or something.
No, Bajor got 2.
Was it just 2?
It was just 2.
They probably didn't have that much industry to begin with.
And it was one planet, as Commander Eddington edited out. Smooth and relaxed.
That guy was in Krull.
Commander Eddington. Yes, he was in Krull and a number of other things.
At a younger time.
Yeah, okay, so Commander Eddington, what was I saying? Music songs?
Music songs.
Music songs, do it out.
Music songs.
Singing groups.
That you get through Apple or like Amazon.
The replicators, okay.
Yeah, like these replicators, you know. And when, why would Kira even bring up, though, that it was like, well, we only gave us 2, when, yeah, the other guy was like, well, actually, it's several planets. It's like, yeah. Either one side or the other looks stupid in this one, and they made Kira look kind of stupid here.
I don't think they made her look stupid. I think what they were doing in this conversation and with the concept of these industrial
replicators. Okay, stupid is a strong word. I meant more just like, there was kind of like, the answer was obvious.
Yes and no. Okay, here.
Foolish is maybe a better word.
I think it was a real politics.
It's like making machines. It's a replicator that makes machines.
Yeah, they're like big time replicators. And I think that what we're getting from this dialogue is a demonstration that DS9, this episode, like they often do, is going with the real politic version of things, like the, you know, foreign affairs, you know, galactic politics, whatever you want to talk about, whatever you want to call it. Mm. So the idea is you can put whatever widget into the slots you want to, but the slot is
slot.
Federation is going to help Cardassia. Like, that's the slot. It can be any magic device. You can put anything in there. All it is we need a MacGuffin, which is the thing that the Federation has and has to give to Cardassia, the thing that can be intercepted, the thing that is under threat of interception,
yeah,
which forms the backbone of the tale.
But they still made Kira look foolish with that line.
That part of the line, I think, was to emphasize the seriousness, not just in terms of the scale of the Cardassian problem by Eddington pointing out that there are a number of planets that Cardassia was dealing with, but to kind of make the point, it's like, yes, Bajor only got 2 from the Federation because, yeah, maybe the Federation I'm making a point here. The Federation does think the Cardassians are more important. And you're supposed to feel like that's kind of fucked up. You're supposed to be like...
They might have more industry already.
I get the reason they're doing it, but it's also kind of like, you know?
Well, I mean, look, yeah, that does seem like, you know, a very plausible reason for them to be, you know, conveying that information to the audience. But I think then the way it was worded was a little bit... It just felt a little clumsy. Wait, I'm making a point.
No,
I'm making a point.
No, I disagree. I don't think you are.
Damn.
No, I agree with what you're saying. The wording, I agree.
Yeah, I thought it was a little clumsy. I like it. It just seemed like weird because it.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like such a small aspect.
Yeah, but again, I think the critique is valid, but I do understand that the function here is to actually give us the first hint of like critique of the Federation, right? Because this episode, more than a lot of them, is really the point of it is to say, let's take a deeper look at this Federation thing and see there might be some fucked up shit going on here. And one of them is
some Maquis infiltration.
You know, how swiftly they're willing to help the Cardassians as compared to the Bajorans. When there was the Bajorans, there was less strategic value in helping the Bajorans. It was more of a humanitarian thing. Whereas with the Cardassians, they're making a strategic decision to give them shitloads of stuff to help them because of the whole problems with the Dominion and all that other stuff, right?
Anything else?
Or it was the Klingons had messed them up.
Yeah, exactly. The Klingons had come in.
And at this point, the Federation and the Klingons aren't getting along.
Exactly, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Wait, we had watched an episode before about the Klingons going.
That was The Way of the Warrior.
Way of the Warrior. Yeah,
that was a while back that we watched. That was the beginning beginning of this fourth season. The Way of the Warrior starts that, where the Klingons start to go off and do their own wild stuff, and then we eventually find out why.
For some reason, this makes me think about the cloaking use of the Defiant. Yes. Like they were cloaking in this episode. I thought they were only supposed to use that basically in relation to the Dominion or any kind of war.
So
kind of stuff.
You know how on Voyager they very quickly abandoned the idea that they were like had no resources and were in like a terrible part of the universe and had unlimited shuttles and the Maquis were not a problem and all that other stuff. Well, Deep Space Nine was much better, but they did have a couple things. One of them was they had a deal to only cloak in the Gamma Quadrant, and they immediately stopped doing that when it was inconvenient to not have the cloaking ability.
It's bogus.
It is bogus.
It's bogus.
All right. So beginning of the episode, we start out, and they. This is a brilliant. I'm just going to spoil it right here. This is a brilliant episode, and it's a very well written episode. It's very well structured. You know, there's things to nitpick along the way, no doubt, and especially with the B story. But I really like the structure of this story, and I like how they start us with Sisko and Cassidy and their weird ass pillows, and Sisko's being all
triangular pillows.
He's being all cozy and cute, and then he like doesn't want her to go. and it's a. It's adorable, right? It's a really sweet scene, and it elevates your feeling for these people, and then that makes the end of the episode that much more impactful. And it also makes you understand what's going on in Sisko's mind throughout the episode, because he's already, you know, he's switching his pillow for hers because he wants to smell his girlfriend because
I am a paragon of virtue.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're more like a parody of virtue.
She was all like, fuck you.
He said a weird line in this episode. This line.
Just the one?
Let the Maquis know we're ready for any trouble.
Isn't that weird how he ends that sentence?
Any trouble?
Yeah. Isn't that weird? Yeah.
Any trouble you got, baby.
Let the Maquis know we're ready for any trouble.
Every Brooks is.
So you were saying, awesome. So back to the subject, you were saying about how he likes to sniff Cassidy's bed sheets.
Right. Hello.
Okay. Again, audience at home, Dan is smiling. He's coyly smiling. He knows what he said was a little silly. I did think, yes, Dan, it was an adorable and realistic depiction of affection, true, sincere affection.
That's not what I asked. People. You were saying he wanted to like really like sniff him.
No, we watch him in this episode. We watch him. He's lying in bed. Cassidy gets up and leaves. He grabs her pillow, sniffs it.
Yeah.
And then he switches his pillow for hers and he gets all snuggly with it.
Right.
Right? That's cute.
I love when I wake up in the morning and I wake up because everyone else is waking up and then they're all going off to do their shit. But for whatever reason, I can sleep in that day. So it's like everyone's bustling about and getting ready to go out of the house and then they're all gone. I'm just like, they fall back asleep. That's like the snuggliest you can ever
feel.
It's
funny that he gets to sleep in. He's like the commander of the station.
Well, she's got to haul some like terrorist stuff to some terrorists.
Well, she's doing some sneaky
quote unquote terrorists.
Nobody else likes to snuggle in their bed.
No, I like to snuggle on the bed. I'm right there with you, Dan. There's no better feeling, and it's a hard feeling to recapture than
I'm not opposed to
than waking up on a snow day where you don't know it's a snow day yet, right? Mm. So here's the deal: if you know it's a snow day a day in advance, that's great.
Ooh, that's super
in school
good.
When you're in school, and the news announces that the evening before they're like, hey,
they're just already calling
school
it.
Is canceled tomorrow. That's great. I'm not going to say that's not great. I am going to say it's not as good a feeling. As that brief feeling you get when you wake up in the morning, you don't know if school's canceled or not. You look out the window, you see all the snow, and then you get that confirmation, and then you get to go back to sleep. And that feeling right as you're going back to sleep, because you're like, I don't have to do shit today. That's a good feeling.
One time I was on the bus and then they canceled school like after I had been picked up on the bus. And then like the bus was like, whoa, 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 whoa. And like they had to take us all back home.
Oh, yeah.
It was all like nerve wracking and weird.
What happened to me is the same thing, except we had to go to school. Like we were already in school. Then the bus just was arriving to school.
That's fucking
and
lame.
They canceled it when the bus was almost at school so that we just had to stay in the school whole fucking snow day while no one else came in. It sucked. It's a really bummer.
You still had to go to fucking school?
That's what I said. They canceled that. That's exactly what I've been saying. Is
like you did what grade was that?
That was like seventh grade, oh my seventh God. Or eighth grade.
So you went to like a bunch of classes and shit.
Well, we didn't actually do shit. Well,
the teachers probably weren't even there.
We just half the school wasn't there because some buses.
You should have built some bombs.
Only some buses were close enough to have to stay, and so I was one of those buses. So most of the school wasn't there. We just kind of hung out in the cafeteria. It was really lame, and it sucked because there was all this snow. Yeah,
that sounds awful.
It's a difference between like being super snuggly, like I was talking about right
Why
here.
Why are you speaking so loudly?
Either about being trapped on a school bus.
No, you just started talking all loudly. Why'd you do that?
It's the difference between being like snuggles like Cisco and like miserable, like, I don't know, who's miserable?
Bashir seems kind of miserable to me. He always seems sort of miserable to me, that Bashir fella.
Then boom, check.
That was a weird scene with.
Then boom, check. Yeah. Boom.
Oh, no, there's some good Bashir stuff. We'll get to it. All right. Well, at least we've gotten past Cisco and the pillow. And we'll discuss the rest of this episode in a moment because we're going to take a quick break. And after we conclude the break, we will return and do more talking.
See you later.
Be right back. Okay, we have returned.
Hey.
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 What? How you doing? All right, so we've gotten past the first scene. And
who got past?
Not even past the teaser. The crux of this episode is that right at the beginning.
The crux of the biscuit.
Eddington and Odo show up, and they're all like, hey, Cisco, we think Cassidy is up to some fucked up weird shit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's a great dilemma. This is fantastic. This is the captain of the fucking space station in control. He's responsible for the stuff in this area.
The scene leading up to that moment you're talking about was really, that was like all exposition. Like, yes. Worf had a line. He had a line about, now I lost it. Oh, well, he had a
Did
line.
Did you have this loaded up at Chakotea.net?
No, I had a...
Did you copy and paste it off of Chakotea.net and put it into your notes?
No.
Is the issue here your notes or is it Chakotea.net?
Okay, God, I feel terrible now. Worf said they were talking about them being like, you know, gotta get these guys, Maki, and Worf is like, right. They should be, without the Cardassian... Oh, wait, no, that's not that line.
Okay, so this is not what you were talking about.
Wait a second, it was what...
What are you talking about?
Oh, man, I'm fucking ruining this whole thing.
No, it's fine, because we're going to respond.
Be patient, man.
Yeah, we're responding.
We're going to keep it cool.
Okay.
A calm, cool, and collected
Eddington
fashion.
Says, we suspect the Maki have built several new bases in the Badlands, and the Cardassians... Is it okay? Can I continue?
Yes, please do.
It's okay?
Yeah, it's fine by me.
In the Badlands, and the Cardassians in the DMC are getting worried. Then Worf says they should be. Without the Cardassian military to stop them, the Maki have a perfect opportunity to drive the Cardassians out of the DMZ permanently. Mm. That was like Worf's, one of his few lines in that scene, and that line could have been given to anybody. Yeah. That was just like, just there to like tell people a bunch of information.
You just had to have Worf.
Yeah.
There wasn't a whole lot of a lot of other characters as well.
I wonder how often that happens where when you're writing a show with a bunch of characters, you're just like, I don't know who to give this line to.
Yeah.
Just throw them. They're free of the scene or something. I don't know if there's some kind of like...
It's got to be tricky.
Some kind of script writing engineering or something.
Yeah.
At like this point, you've got special algorithm. Worf.
Yeah.
Let's add Worf to the show.
Well, the thing with Deep Space Nine is they were no strangers to this sort of exposition. Often it was more entertaining somehow. I don't know. Because sometimes exposition just really jumps out at you, and it did a little here, but other times you're like, oh yeah, this is fun. They're sitting around a table. The table looks all cool. There's a ceiling. There's a window.
Yeah.
The table's all lit up. That's kind of neat.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just it makes it a little bit more palatable when it's just people standing in a hallway talking to each other.
Yeah.
But I really like this setup. I like putting Cisco into this position and testing this relationship, right? Because that's a pretty extreme test of a relationship to commit a crime, even if it's a crime that's a sympathetic crime. It's certainly in that.
Yeah, she was giving. She was just given medical supplies, medical which, things. But she was selling them. Now, yeah, it was confusing because you have.
I have what? What do I have?
You were talking something about that.
What was I talking about?
About Cisco and
that thong, the thong, thong, thong.
No.
You're talking about that Cisco?
No, I'm not talking about that Cisco.
Cisco that did that?
Wasn't it Cisco?
Oh yeah, but I'm not talking about that Cisco.
Yeah, okay.
I thought it was. I mean, not that I'm any expert on this type of.
So you were saying this is sympathetic.
That was definitely a different Cisco.
You're saying Cassidy was Cassidy
with
was
sympathetic. Q, right?
Kasidy, Cassidy.
No. Cisco, the thong song.
Okay.
Would be Cisco with a Q.
Cassidy with a Q.
I don't know what I'm talking about. Don't be, Dan. You should not be listening to me.
I don't have much choice in any of that right
sure
now.
Sure you do. Sure you do.
Yes, you were saying it was a test of their relationship.
Yes.
She had a sympathetic, this crime, she was sympathetic. Yeah. It was for medical supplies. Of course, you're still not supposed to be bartering with...
The Maquis themselves are good antagonists because they're sympathetic.
Yeah, and she's not Maquis.
No, but she's Maquis adjacent.
She's when she was like...
Right?
You had your duty.
I mean, she's helping. What's Maquis, what's not Maquis? I mean, if she's running, smuggling items for them...
She's
aiding and abetting.
She's a maverick. She's doing it for her own benefit.
Maybe, but that's I don't know.
But
that
she's still helping them out.
I don't think that's clear from the text of the episode.
I thought it was to me. It seemed pretty clear because I mean, that's what she does. She makes deliveries.
She's following their schedule
for money.
And that's what I'm saying for money. So she doesn't care. Look, she probably doesn't. Like, she could be against the Maquis, but also still be like, well, they need medical supplies, and they're not that bad, so I'll make money off that, because it's profitable. That doesn't mean she's associated with them. When people sell, when they talk about guns dealers, they don't care who they sell to, that whole story they talk about?
Yes, except that's not how this story is set up. She sympathizes with them, and that's why she's helping
them.
No,
she's not. The only one who sympathizes with them is O'Brien.
No. O'Brien
sympathizes with the Maquis.
He does because he comes from a long line of fighters of oppression, and that's why this Maquis have always been a sympathetic. It's a brilliant from the beginning, from the outset. They are sympathetic because the Federation changed a treaty. They had nothing to do with it. All of a sudden, they found themselves on the wrong side of a property line that they had no part in putting together.
Right. Okay.
And they feel oppressed, and
they happen to hate Cardassians.
And some of them are choosing violence and other means to fight them. But the thing with Cassidy Yates is, we know that she was sympathetic to them because she knew that Cisco was onto her and still tried to make the delivery.
She just wanted the money.
No, there was no money. She said they needed the medical supply. Why would you basically put yourself in a position where you know you're going to get arrested? Like almost 100% you're going to get arrested. You do that because you believe in the cause. You don't for the cause. That's the title of the episode. You don't do it because you're getting paid money. She's not mercurial like that. She's never been portrayed that way.
I don't think there's enough evidence in your argument.
Enough evidence. She's like a Ferengi merchant. She's doing the little Ferengi fingers.
She's just a business person.
Give me the money. I'll give you the medical supplies. You give me the money.
Is that what you do instead of trying to like discuss with someone? You just mock them instead. You just want to mock. What
I wasn't
I'm
mocking you.
Yes, you were mocking me.
I was
me.
Mocking your ideas.
Okay. I somehow knew you were going to that one.
No, I just.
It's just we don't. You know, there's no need to mock the other person.
I mean, it is a comedy podcast.
I'm saying that's a weak.
Colin mockery.
You mock someone in an argument, you're doing that in lieu of an argument. It means you don't have anything to say, so you try to appeal to people's emotions.
Okay. You are correct.
I just wanted to finish what I was saying. That's
you are
all.
Correct. You are correct. However, it could also mean that one has presented their case logically, and in addition to that, are resorting to some less than tasteful rhetorical tactics.
You guys.
we're just a bunch of silly billies. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I kind of don't buy it, but, you know, it's to each their own. Write in at feedback at itsgotstartrek.com. Is Cassidy Yates a Ferengi?
And we don't get too many answers to all of our
Wait, let's play
questions that we pose.
I already played this, but we didn't play the game. Is it duty or no duty? You remember that game, duty or no duty?
It's actually one of my favorite games.
Yeah. So is it duty or is it no duty? Let me know.
Okay.
You had your duty. I had mine.
Oh.
Duty
can
or
you,
no duty?
Can you play it again?
You had your duty. I had mine.
That's really tough.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a T there, but...
Is that a duty or a no duty, Jesse?
I think he might need to hear it again.
You had your duty. I had mine.
Duty or no duty?
Duty.
Jesse just wants to hear the fart sound. Is there an accompanying Is there an accompanying fart sound?
Only if I can find
it. It's not the most popular thing we do, but, but I like it.
Okay, that's all the fart sounds I'm going to play for this episode.
Two farts. Maybe we'll do a Patreon episode that's all farts.
Oh, man.
That'll really get them...
Fartreon.
beating down the doors.
What about this? Is this duty or no duty?
Duty calls. I'll see you when you get back.
No duty.
Yeah, there's more duty. There was more tea in that one. Duty.
Duty calls. I'll see you. Man. Duty calls. Yeah. I'll see you when you get back.
I'll go with that. No duty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have more of these.
No diggity.
I have more of these. We can do them or not.
We can do them later.
No. We can do it later.
Or you can do them now.
Okay. Okay. How about this? Duty or no duty?
I still have my duty.
That's a T. Cisco seems to do that.
He's good with the no
duty.
Hey,
Jesse, I don't know. Like Dan, don't give away don't spoil this. But Jesse, I have a feeling that like if he's gotten more, Dan has already said there's not going to be any more farts. So it kind of makes me think that Dan thinks that all the rest of them are duty.
No, I wasn't even thinking about that. So
well, because you said you weren't going to play any more farts, and I know it's like really hard not to play a fart if it lands on duty, then you got to play a fart because otherwise, what's the fucking point of all? What's the point of anything?
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess.
Do you have another one?
Do I have another what?
You know, duty or duty.
Oh yeah, no, it's duty or no duty. I don't know what game.
Duty or no duty.
Okay, this one. Duty or no duty.
You had your duty.
Oh, wait.
I had mine.
I already played that one. Oh, we already played that. So, okay, duty or no duty. Actually, this is the last one. This next one's the last one. Duty or no duty.
You know it, Mr. Eddington. I don't give a damn what you think of the Federation, the Maquis, or anything else. All I know is that you betrayed your oath, your duty, and me.
That is so no duty.
That is so duty, no duty.
No, it's like the most. No, it is. Yeah, yeah. It is duty. It's no duty.
Yeah, you gave it away, Dan, when you were like, "I'm not going to play any more farts." I should have known.
No, I didn't make that connection. Do you want? You want me to prove it? Because I have loaded up. A fart sound. I've loaded up a fart sound.
Okay, but you have a fart on deck, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
You have a fart in reserve.
Oh, just in case.
Speaking of Cisco, here's a. Tell me if he pronounces any, says any of these words a little weird.
They've basically given a free hand to the Maquis and the Dimillo tribes.
Free hand.
Wait. The Dimillo. He said basically weird.
They've basically given a free hand to the Maquis in the demilitarized zone.
Demilitarized.
Yeah.
The demilitarized zone. Demilitarized zone.
Sounds weird.
The demilitarized zone.
It does.
Demilitarized. The demilitarized zone. The demilitarized zone.
Sounds like a drug.
Oh, man.
Like a pharmaceutical.
Demilitarized zone.
Oh, demilitarized. Yeah.
Take 10 cc's of demilitarized.
Wait.
Demilitarized zone.
Wait.
Demilitarized zone.
Yeah, that sounds like some kind of drug.
It does.
That's clever.
Remember when Eddington was like, you aren't a citizen anymore if you commit a crime?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? That can't be real. You can't get just like, you renounce your citizenship because you're accused of committing a crime.
And also his logic.
If you join the Maquis, I think.
Yeah, no, but you can join a terrorist organization and they would... We've gone through this. They still treat you as I mean, in the U.S. Maybe other countries do it differently.
But it's also shit logic because he says if she's really a Maquis, then she's no longer a Federation citizen, right? So if she isn't a Maquis, then she is Federation. That's the point. Like that's like saying we can treat people like criminals because if they are a criminal, then they're a criminal and it's okay. It's just saying if they're a criminal,
I think it's a fucked up thing to say.
It's
a fucked up thing.
It's a fucked up thing to say.
What you said, but also like that's like, yeah, it's like if I could call you a duty face, and it's okay because maybe you are a duty face,
duty
but I don't,
no
you
duty.
Know, like I don't well, know.
And the thing is even positing the idea that the Maquis,
duty or no duty.
Because the Maquis are their whole deal is that they're trying to get rid of the Cardassian settlers that have encroached on their, what they believe is their territory. Mm-hmm. And so even if you declare that joining them means that you are effectively joining an independent group, some other nation per se, by whatever galactic law says, even were that to be the case, one would presume there is some process, there's some sort of due process, some sort of hearing, some sort of forms that have to be filled out before somebody can have their Federation citizenship rescinded. If you can really be so mercurial, yeah, and rescind Federation citizenship at the stage of accusation, which is maybe not exactly what he's doing here, but still, it comes pretty darn close. Then, that's another clue that maybe the Federation isn't so great. But I'm going to assume that's not the case, and this is more to color Eddington as sort of a reactionary.
Well, at the end of the episode, when he was all talking to Sisko that last time about he was like, "All we want is for you to leave us alone. Oh yeah, and don't help the Cardassians, because if you do, we'll fuck with you."
Yeah.
Like, but I mean, he made like a strong thesis statement of like, "We just want you to leave us alone, and you won't." But then when you followed up with like, and even I mean, Sisko pointed that out, but
you're thinking it's Chakotay.
But I mean, huh? What?
Does he know Chakotay?
Oh, you got to know Chakotay if you're in the Maquis. I think he was pretty up there, wasn't he? I'm just talking out my ass.
I don't know, dude. I don't know.
I don't know. He's the guy who got like stuck on the other side of the galaxy.
But yeah, like you know,
Sisko.
Yeah, he's a reactionary. What was he saying? I was saying, hold on.
Were you talking about the end? Because I mean, I know we're.
Oh
not...
yeah, at the end, yeah. When he was like, just leave us. He said, just leave us alone.
Just got a case of the gigglies. Look at him
over there. And that sounds very reasonable, but then when you talk about like, and then Sisko pointed that out anyway.
The thing, so
like,
I think that one of the great things about the ending, not to jump ahead.
It's not really just leave him alone, you know, it's more than that.
It is, and I get the point you're making, but overall, the way they structure that last conversation between Sisko and Eddington is that even though Sisko's whole statement about like, I'm going to hunt you down until you're in a blah, 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 and this and that, it's on the surface, it comes across very badass, very typically Sisko badass. But both he and Eddington know it's empty, because Eddington is like, you can't get at me because I'm doing this for philosophical reasons. Mm-hmm. You can't win. And more to the point, almost everything Eddington says makes sense. Now, it doesn't mean his methods are correct necessarily, all that. There's that whole discussion, but they make it, he wants to be left alone. And honestly, is it that much to ask to say, hey, the people who want to Holocaust us, maybe don't be allied with them, right? It's not necessarily a problematic thing for him to at least request, right? And I think that's wonderful, because it's one of those rare times where, even though we're technically sort of on Sisko's side, we know that he's not just fighting some black hat bad guy, some alien, whatever. This guy is making perfectly reasonable points, at least points that are worth listening to. They're not just some sort of silly nonsense, right? Not some Romulan gobbledygook, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Well, remember, he was almost making fun of the Federation when he was like pretending to be, they were asking him like what he thought of this whole situation.
Oh yes, yeah, that with O'Brien and Worf. Because Worf, of course, was super, talk about reactionary. Worf was like, they should all be hunted down and exterminated. Yeah.
And he was just like,
I don't have any feelings about them one way or the other.
And then O'Brien was like,
man, I don't even have an opinion.
Oh shit, I fucked it up. Oh man.
Hey, do you think that joke will still work if you redo it?
I fucked it up.
Marvin. All right, let's try again.
So
it's take number two. This is Dan Glaubitz in the podcast studio.
So like, you know,
he's setting up the line. Dan is still under the odd delusion that he's going to be able to start this over and I'll be able to edit it in such a way that will work. So go for it, Dan.
Okay. So, like, it almost seemed like, I feel stupid saying the same thing over again.
Oh, no, but go for it.
But it's like Eddington was insulting the Federation when he was doing that impression, you know?
Yeah.
Because they were, like, all asking what he thought about the Maquis and all that. And Worf, like you said, Worf
is really reactionary.
Yeah, Worf. Yeah. And then, like, they asked Eddington, and he's all like,
I don't have any feelings about them one way or the other.
And then O'Brien was like,
well, you gotta have an opinion.
That's funny. That's a funny joke.
But you must have an opinion.
Man, I don't even have an opinion.
I don't have any feelings about them one way or the other.
Well, you gotta have an opinion.
You must have an opinion.
Well, you gotta have an opinion.
I shot Marvin opinion. In the face.
I don't even have an opinion.
Car must have any feelings car must have gone over a bump.
Oh, you must have an opinion.
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 Opinion. I know we've jumped around a little bit, but I think in this storyline, again, the strength, and not to harp on it for too long, but all throughout the whole thing, even before we know the twist about Eddington at the end, which we'll have to discuss because that's fun too. But
did Eddington have a weird accent to you? Here's one part. He sounded weird.
It sounded
me.
Almost Canadian.
It was here, right here.
They need time to look for camouflage fields, false cargo manifests, computer records.
Isn't that weird? I'm playing one more time.
Yeah, well.
They need time to look for camouflage fields, false cargo manifests, computer records.
I agree.
Something sounds weird.
I didn't notice that before, but it does sound weird.
It's almost like he's saying records.
There's a few odd accents in this episode, and we'll save it to the next break to talk about.
Save it.
Garrick and Zial, but Zial talked weird too. Okay, but before we get to that, we'll conclude our discussion of this part of the episode. Eddington and Odo. Now, one thing to recall is that when Eddington was first assigned to the station, Odo was all pissed off, right? Because he was like, "They don't trust me." They found out that the founders were changelings like Odo, and then. The Federation was like, we're going to assign one of our own people there. And then, of course, Odo, in the end, after all of this, gets to be like, I told you so.
Yeah.
I told you didn't need to be, you know, look, you assigned some guy because you were afraid I was going to be a traitor. And look what this guy did.
Yeah.
He did some wild shit.
He was all sneaky. He was all, he took command of everyone. And he was like, comms, dead comms. Don't talk on the comms. Yeah. Nobody's listening to comms, right? turn them off. Turn them all off so no one can listen. So that
for
way, when
9 hours.
That's why when Cisco called in, that's how they didn't get him. But yeah, you know, that's pretty sneaky, right?
Yeah.
The plan.
Totally,
you know what
Star
else was
Trek.
Sneaky, though? When Cisco left, when he'd caught Cassidy Yates on the Zosa with Barthol, the Bolian, when they got back... And Odo, or coming back, and Odo was like, you didn't even let us leave a security detail there. He's like, Deep Space Nine is our number one priority. That was bullshit. Like,
well, yeah, of course it was bullshit.
Total bullshit. He did that 3 times in this episode. Okay, you're talking about, okay, he has his duty, she has her duty. So,
she had duty, though.
Yeah, you're right. And he had no duty.
He had no duty.
So he didn't make her wait through the inspection, even though he agreed... to let them do it. He was like, Odo and Eddington, you guys can do this sketchy shit. And then they did it with a Tebeklian virus or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he like let her do it anyways. So he's pulling strings. Then he tried to get her to run away with him to Risa instead of delivering.
And that was a brilliant scene because that was Sisko trapped between his duty to his job and the Federation and Starfleet and his duty to his relationship, to his love
duty.
Of Cassidy.
And that one was kind of pushing the line, I think.
Well,
of like,
because that was a man, that was desperation.
Yeah,
and,
well, right.
And
it was a powerful scene.
Avery Brooks, look, this is I think this is a great story just at its base. This is a really good idea, and it's, you know, well-written and all that. But so much of it rests on Avery Brooks and Penny Gerald Johnson. They're acting in general, of course, but even just their face acting, because so much of this episode is Avery Brooks having to pretend to be one thing while thinking something else, right? And in that scene is where he's trying to be like, let's go to Risa.
I know.
Everything's fine. Let's go to Risa.
I know this doesn't make any, this, you know, this wasn't the point of it, but when he was basically hassling her, he's like, what could be so important that you can't
he's
go to-
telling her,
well,
I know.
Well, I know. I'm saying something different.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying something different. So let me finish my point.
All right.
So I can say the thing I'm trying to say. Thank
you. What you trying to say?
I don't know anymore. He was saying that, oh, right. He was saying, like, stop whatever you're doing. Come with me to Risa. Yeah. And I know this isn't the point of the scene, but it's kind of like, how can she just casually drop delivering medical supplies. Didn't he know she was supposed to be delivering medical supplies? He just didn't know too.
Yeah.
Right. So like, so he's saying, forget delivering all these medical supplies that people need. Just come hang out with me at Ryza. I get the point was that he wanted to like get her away from
the
scene.
But
the fact that it's medical supplies makes it a little harder to believe because it's like they're not going to casually just. I know they could assign someone else to it, but it still seems like a big deal.
I think this is what subtly makes it so brilliant. It subtly makes it so brilliant.
Subtly brilliant. Okay, what is this? What is this insight?
You're talking about mocking. You're mocking the insight before you've even heard it, and I bet you're going to dig it. I think what Sisko is doing here, it's so naked that it's not just that he wants Cassie to go with him so that if the ship goes without her, at least she won't be arrested. It's that he is signaling to her. He's trying to he's basically like trying to compromise between his loyalty to his Starfleet and his job, where he shouldn't be aiding and abetting criminals to get out of being getting in trouble. But he also has a loyalty to her as a person, and he's trying to in fighting this. He's trying to say like, I'm asking something absurd. Don't you understand something's wrong? I asked you about your flight path. Right. I asked you all these weird questions. I'm acting weird.
He kept getting weirder and weirder.
And you're all I'm making a situation where it's really weird for you to just leave. Even if you just think I'm being weird, you should want to stay. And I think that's part of what makes it such an interesting scene to me is that he's trying to communicate something through this barrier of rules and loyalty and expectation, and it's all very complicated, but wrapped up so delightfully into this little interaction between the two. Because then she the look on her face again, Penny Gerald Johnson is doing some brilliant face acting too, because her face kind of drops a little because she's like, ugh. She's like, he must know. She's like, that's the moment where she's like, okay, she got the message. He gave her the message. I know something's up, and she's like, fuck. He knows, but I'm going to go anyway because for the cause. Because she's into it. Because she's into the cause. She's not doing it for money. Hey, do you remember that part when Jake was all telling his dad that he was horny?
Oh, my God.
He was like, hey, Dad, you're so fucking horny. Hey, Dad, you want to you wanna have sex with your girlfriend?
I guess you're not used to sleeping alone anymore.
It's like older, sassy Jake. Yeah.
Oh, what I mean is you miss her companionship. Companionship. Oh, what I mean is companionship. You miss talking, sharing insights about command and duty. Command and duty. Companionship.
It's a good pee he did.
Yeah, I like he says companion. Yeah, I know.
Companion.
Really nice
What I mean is, you miss her command and duty, sharing insights about shit. You miss her. You miss talking.
Oh, wait, no, it's talking.
You miss her command and duty, sharing insights about companionship.
Yeah.
Oh, what I mean is, you miss her command and duty, sharing insights about companionship.
Sorry.
It's very silly.
It's weird.
Oh, talking and sharing insights about command and duty.
One thing I wanted to mention about that conversation O'Brien, Worf, and Eddington were having on the Defiant was when Worf started talking about the terrorist stuff. They're terrorists, blah 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 blah. And O'Brien was like, "Yeah, don't say that around Kira."
Yeah,
and of course it was a funny line, but it was also again another signal to the audience to remind them that there's multiple perspectives here. Like, how are the Maquis different than the Bajorans in terms of overthrowing an oppressive power? And by the way, it's the same one. It's the Cardassians in both cases that they're fighting against. I didn't want to go past that conversation without mentioning that. Going back to Eddington's final speech, another really key moment in that speech is when Eddington's all about when he says, no one leaves paradise, right? He's like, that's what the Federation gets confused. They're like, the Federation thinks it's perfect. And so by definition, if somebody doesn't want to be a part of it, there must be something wrong with them. And he's mocking that conceit, that implicit conceit about
like, you gotta know to go to.
About the Federation not being perfect, and that is both an interesting story point and also an interesting shift in Star Trek shows when it comes to the Federation.
That's what he was saying earlier when he was talking about his opinion is irrelevant. You know, when they were asking what he thought about the Maquis, and he was like, my opinion is irrelevant. He says, what matters is doing my job like a Starfleet officer. Anything else is an indulgence. Yeah. Like, that was him mocking.
I agree.
I
didn't notice that watching it, but you're right. Yeah, it's like 100%
it
right.
It was almost like he was bitterly it was like a bitter parody of his opinion. And then at the end, like you said, about him saying, saying they're worse than the Borg because they don't know they've been assimilated. Now, that's a little bit harsh, but and I still hold from what I said earlier about the way he presented his argument was as if they were being told, like, they weren't doing anything wrong. They just wanted to be left alone. But it was a little more than that. Like, as Sisko pointed out, it's like, well, does that include, you know, interfering with us when we try to, like, you know, make trades or provide aid for someone? And he's like, well, if it's the Cardassians. So it's like they're a little bit not as innocent as, like,
I think innocent, again, it depends on your perspective. If you're in a situation where you truly believe that your long-term settlements that you've been living at for a long time, you know, some agreement that you weren't party to results in other people coming into that settlement, some people are going to be like, you know what, that's a problem.
Well, yeah, of course I can see that's a problem. I'm saying, though, like, to say that you didn't do anything, to say that, like, oh, we just wanted to leave and that's it, but you're coming after us because we're just trying to leave, we're so innocent, we just don't want to be part of it. I'm saying it's more than that. They're engaging back. They're saying, like, they're interfering with their shit.
But it's still saying, leave us alone, like, don't let us do our thing, let us defend our stuff, but don't you know, you don't need to harass us. I just think it's there's no easy answer. That's why it's fascinating.
It's
not an easy thing to say, we get the Maquis or this, that, or the other thing. And also, we don't necessarily know.
If I'm giving a sandwich to somebody that's my friend and that friend is like, doesn't like...
Which friend and what kind of sandwich?
Oh my gosh. I knew it was going to happen.
What kind of bread?
Let's say like me and Joe are friends and Bobby like is over here and I'm friends with Bobby... But Joe is not friends with Bobby. Joe and Bobby hate each other.
Because of a bologna sandwich?
And if I gave Joe a sandwich, does that mean Bobby then is allowed to steal that sandwich from me as I'm trying to give it? See what I'm saying? Like,
What's on the sandwich?
The thing you're leaving out in this scenario
is
that Joe has been trying to kill Bobby.
No, that's what? Are you serious? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because the Cardassians are trying to kill the people, the settler. They want to get rid of the
settler. They're trying to cleanse the...
So you've in your triangle, you've left out that Joe hates Bobby.
I don't think...
Not only hates Bobby, but Joe is actively trying to exterminate Bobby.
I don't think I don't think the Federation is giving the Cardassians aid if the Cardassians are going to be fucking killing off the Maquis.
No, but they are. They're giving them replica. Right now, the Cardassians are leaving the Maquis alone because they simply cannot do anything about it. The Klingons attacked them. They've been fucked up. They don't have the resources. They just don't have the ships to go do the stuff that they were doing. And the Maquis are upset because they're like, you are now going to give them, through these replicators, you are giving them the capacity to rebuild their war-making capability, which the Federation wants as a bulwark against the Dominion. But the Maquis are like, well, then they'll be able to come and harass us again. So that's the scenario. And again, I am not saying that there's an easy philosophical answer to that. And that's why it makes it interesting. But it is, it's a complicated setup.
I don't think the Federation would be giving supplies to the Cardassians and then letting the Cardassians turn around and use it to kill, like,
You don't think that under the impression that the Federation wouldn't do that type of thing, but they do. And that's kind of what this episode is saying
I don't know.
Because that's what they're doing. They're giving the Cardassians 12 industrial grade replicators. Yeah. So that they can rebuild their economy and get
and their war machine.
Yeah, but rebuilding their economy is different than just turning around and shooting somebody with a bunch of shit.
What their whole shit is. Though.
Yes, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying at no point did Sisko or Eddington or anybody say, oh, the gift of these replicators is contingent on you doing X, Y, and Z, because the whole reason they're doing it gets back to that real politic. The Federation is doing it not out of the goodness of their hearts to help the Cardassians. They're doing it because they know that having a fucked up Cardassian empire and then the Dominion coming in, that's not a good thing. And they're doing it for strategic purposes. And the Maquis is annoyed because because a side effect, it's not the Federation is not helping the Cardassians harass the Maquis, but it is a side effect of helping the Cardassians is that you potentially are now causing the harm to the Maquis.
But you don't necessarily have to put any of the blame on the Federation for that.
Okay, that's a perfectly defensible position. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm saying that I disagree with the idea that you can outright dismiss Eddington's position. I think it's maybe you can dismiss his tactics, but his position being, I'm not cool with the people who are helping my bully, right? Like, you don't have to be cool with the person who's helping your bully. Even that person is really nice. Even that person helps all sorts of nice people who aren't bullies.
You can't just go anywhere in the galaxy and be like, I'm just going to settle here because I'm a human.
You can still be aggravated if the person going around helping people also is helping the person who is now going to come and fuck you.
Of course, you have every right to be aggravated.
And if you feel that if that's an existential threat to you, you're going to feel justified in doing certain things.
Okay, look, yes, you can feel aggravated, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't take any action, but what I'm saying is when you present your argument as if you're innocent and have no part in this, like that's a faulty premise for an argument. Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't be doing what they're doing. I'm just saying he's presenting it as if like, oh, you just leave us alone. We won't do blah, blah, blah. And that's not the whole story. It's just he's presenting a false premise.
I disagree that it's a false premise. I agree that he's presenting the argument from his perspective and there are other perspectives. No, it is, because that's what it comes down to when you're debating these types of things is you in theory you want to actually cover as many of the relevant perspectives as possible, and I agree with you Eddington is not.
That's not what I was saying. I wasn't saying
I'm agreeing with you. You're getting mad at me.
No, I'm saying I wasn't saying that it's not good to look at different perspectives. What I was saying,
I didn't suggest
was,
you did.
Was you just kind of said like, well, that's your perspective. No. This is someone else's. No.
Look, you've I've miscommunicated my point because I'm in full agreement with you, and that's what I'm trying to get across. I'm trying to get across. You are right. Eddington is making this argument, and from a very narrow perspective, right? That's what you're saying, right? I agree with you.
I just think his logic is flawed. I think there's a slight difference in that.
And that's what I disagree with. I don't agree that his logic is flawed, but maybe his premises are flawed, right? So he can argue his point and still be wrong in certain aspects of it. I'm not supporting his point. I just don't think it's not a fraudulent premise. It's maybe lacking a lot of other premises. It's maybe not taking into account a lot of other premises. If you start with the facts that he has, it makes sense. That's the problem with logic. Logic does not get you to the truth. Logic depends on what you include in the soup,
it's all just language.
And if you keep it real simple, you can have real clear quote unquote logic that's totally wrong because you're missing all these other things.
Where's your evidence?
I know, right?
Your evidence.
This break
evidence!
has gone on too long.
Evidence to base evidence!
So we have to take a break. But when we get back, we will wrap up any bits of this conversation, but also we got to talk about Garrick and Zial.
All right.
We will be right back.
Lotion for the motion.
Okay.
Or loofah.
Loofah for the poofah. The boofah. Loofah for the boofah.
You guys even talking
I don't know
about?
What that is. Sir.
What are you guys talking you about? Do?
What are you talking about, sir?
What are you talking about? Okay, can we be back from break?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Have we concluded our break?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
He was beginning to talk of obscene things.
I was just talking about nipples.
No, not you, this guy.
I wasn't saying nothing. I said some boofing stuff.
Oh, that's right, with the words.
You're back.
We're back. Oh, we're all back.
I wanted to mention about Jake. He seemed like super laid back this episode.
He was sassy Jake.
He was all like,
it's great.
It's great. He was just all like chilling all around, you know?
Think
he
like, found, I'm like, writing a book.
Did you find like a really good holosuite program, like a naughty one?
Yeah.
He seemed like
he
a little
really, he seems chill, right? He seems relaxed.
He was all like,
all right, you two, break it up.
You know?
Okay, so wait. Did they watch a?
I don't know what it tastes like.
A baseball game that between like two different teams from different eras or something.
It's simulated, presumably.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think this is flawed because
it was just kind of a funny thing.
It was the 61 Yankees versus the 78 Red Sox, and it shouldn't have been one game. It should have been a series of like seven games because it's baseball. Baseball's
more,
all
more baseball.
Like if it was a football game, I could like accept maybe one game, but like baseball, you got
to
play.
It's a holosuite. You might as well go in for the whole.
At least have like a double.
My point is just that, like, it's if you want to find out which is a better team, you're going to get much better data from seven games. And
yeah. Do you think baseball is super like that?
I don't know, man.
I bet they ate some hot dogs.
I don't fucking know. How would I know such
Hollow
a thing?
Dogs.
Hollow dogs.
Hologram.
oh yeah, and Jake, he was all talking about some
Macabre bread, no crust.
What do you think he's saying there?
Macabre bread, no crust.
Maca root bread, no crust.
Rock the Gino, extra sweet.
Oh Macabre yeah. Bread,
no crust. Oh wait, that was the
Rock the Gino, extra
there was
sweet.
That weird fluffy stuff.
Hold on.
Rock the Gino, extra sweet. Macabre bread, no crust.
Yeah.
You think maca root?
Yeah, maca root bread, maca no
root
crust.
Bread, maca
yeah.
root? It's yeah. macapa bread, but he's pronounced
macapa.
It's spelled M-A-K-A-P-A. And this is another argument
we can have. M-A-K-A-P-A?
Wait, this is an argument we can have about the reliability of Chuckotea.net plus closed captioning.
Plus.
But both, because we had this argument before about like whether or not... someone said, oh man, what was that big argument we had about that person, that person on the TV? They
I don't
said,
know. We do the Men in Black thing every week after we record.
It was like, is he saying something or something or something?
You know, you
you're
do
gonna have to be a little more specific.
You know, it's just, I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember the specifics.
Anyways, the point was, is I had evidence from, fuck
evidence.
It. I had evidence.
Evidence
from closed captioning and Chuckotea.net. And here's another situation where I'm.
Where is it two different things?
No, this is what.
Or are they both the same?
It's spelled. They're both the same, and they're both spelled M A K A P A.
Yes.
Macabre bread, no crust.
It sounded to me like he's saying macabre bread.
Macabre.
Macabre. Yeah, it sounds like macabre.
I don't know. Please don't
see,
say
macabre.
Macabre bread, no crust.
Macabre bread. Does that word make you feel weird?
It makes me feel a little weird. I don't like
Rock the Gino, extra sweet. Macabre bread, no crust.
I don't think he says. I don't think he says what you're saying. Okay. I think he says.
He doesn't.
Isn't
macabre?
Is but it's supposed to be macabre or whatever. Is that Klingon?
Yes, Klingon coffee.
Is the macabre bread from Klingon?
I don't think so. I think that's something else.
It's not like
this
some kind
some sort of fruit
Klingon worm
thing.
Bread or something.
Did you see how put off Sisko was by
he was weirdly, but well, he was in a bad mood.
Yeah, he's
he
like, what the fuck are you doing? Because
I don't know. That would be pretty awesome
Gino,
to me.
Boy.
I mean, yeah,
didn't it look pretty cool? Did it look tasty to you?
I thought it looked cool.
Yeah,
when
yeah,
he said
cool.
some weird kind of peppermint, I was like,
yeah.
Whoa,
yeah,
I want to know it's some weird.
And then he was like, he couldn't tell what the bread tasted like.
It looked weird.
I don't know what it tastes like.
It was cool looking.
What happened to juice and
I wanted to see it.
I don't know what it tastes like.
Bajoran rotamba stew over spinach.
I don't know what it tastes like.
Oh, right. Yeah, rotamba stew over spinach linguine.
That was weird.
Yeah,
I don't know what it tastes like.
I don't think I needed
it. Yeah, I don't.
But that, so
but
the,
like, no, but I, what,
the,
what,
the
what,
caption
what,
said
what,
a certain spelling, yeah. And then it sounds like he says something different. Though,
yeah, I think
from
it's,
the caption.
From the caption in Chuckotea.net, both say M-A-K-A-P-A, and I hear macabre. You guys hear maca root.
I hear maca root.
I hear macabre. Okay.
Macabre bread, no crust.
Macabre.
Well, the more you have played it for me, I'm more
you're tricking
inclined.
Him into hearing other things.
He's tricked me.
He's manipulated your ears.
He's roped me into his.
You know what this
wagon.
Fella is? This
you are evil.
This Dan fella is an oral manipulator, an aural.
He's
aural.
Pushing buttons.
Aural, not oral. You're an aural. You're an aural manipulator.
Aural.
This guy's
aural.
This guy's all about the aural madness.
Arl. The pants.
Anything else is an indulgence.
Doesn't that sound like the like a tagline to some product? It's like, you know,
yes.
It's like some kind
dun,
of
dun,
like
dun 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 dun. You know, and then the slogan comes up. Anything else is an indulgence.
Yeah, it could be
dun 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 dun.
Are you talking about that the SNL skit?
The diamonds.
Are you talking about the synchronized swimming with Martin Short?
No, but that's a good one. That's a good one. The best part about that is because it's like synchronized swimming without swimming.
Yeah.
And the best part is they have all that intro about the synchronized swimming. And then like, they're like, the only problem was there was one problem. And then Marsha was like, I don't swim. Anyway, it was funny.
That's pretty funny.
You didn't think it was that funny.
I thought it was pretty funny.
You didn't think the retelling was funny.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Move along home.
Wait, we're not going to talk about spring ball?
Oh, yeah. I called it future ball.
Then boom, check.
Yeah, future racquetball.
Then boom, check.
Extreme
boom, check. Boom, checked him into the wall.
So
then boom, check. Boom, check. Checked him into the wall.
This episode was directed by Star Trek stalwart James L. Conway. He's a great director,
dude,
and it's a really well-directed episode, and this is one of the scenes that exemplifies that because of how I thought it was so great how the camera was jumping between Bashir and Garak and Zial and then Kira playing, and then the brilliance of having the audience not get to see Kira's brilliant final move.
And then and
because we're with Bashir, the director's putting us with Bashir.
Bashir's really into spring ball, and he didn't get to see the winning shot.
Yeah.
Oh, come on.
That was, you have where he says like, that was a foul.
There was this weird interaction. This is weird. This line's weird to me.
Not the spectators, especially not that spectator.
What does she expect?
Not the spectators, especially not that spectator.
What does she expect?
Spectator.
Expect.
Oh,
spectator.
That's right. I was like,
expect.
Why, yeah.
Spectator.
Expect.
I was wondering what you were confused expect. By.
Yeah, spectator. Spec. There was a lot of expect noises.
Yeah, a lot of psst.
Spect. Spect. That's weird. That makes me feel weird when I say spect. I don't like saying spect. I don't have a problem with Makabu bread, but I have a problem with saying spect.
Okay. You can get some spect on your Makabu bread.
I liked when Kira caught
and
the ball.
And then boom, checked him into the wall.
You remember like Kira like caught the ball and everyone was like, whoa!
Yeah, dude, I want to learn the rules of...
I know, I was like, what's the rules?
I know, she caught it. I was like, you can catch the ball?
Is it like dodgeball?
It involves some kind of like faking out all the time and like tricking people.
She fucking...
going, like...
He said she gave... she checked the dude, but she like elbowed... It looked like she kind of elbowed him in the face.
Yeah,
but then he tripped her, but and then which was a foul. But it's all good because after the game was over, she helped him up and they were friends, even though he fouled her.
He totally
and she
fouled
elbowed
him
in the face.
Man,
it is crazy.
Well, it's not sportsmanlike to trip somebody.
I think that was part
well, it depends
of the
on the sport, right?
Well, they well, even Mashir, like you said, he was like, oh, foul.
Well, not for he didn't think Kira did the foul, he thought the other
guy,
that's why I know.
He,
I know the other,
right,
I know that's what when the guy tripped her, he called foul. My
oh,
point
okay,
is,
I got you,
he committed
I got you,
a foul, but she still loved him afterwards.
I get it now. Do you have I was gonna say, did you have Garrick saying, oh? Because, you know, he says, oh, funny.
Yeah.
Sisko says, who? At the beginning of the episode.
Oh, I don't think I got that one.
That was a good one, because he's all
hello.
Like,
hello.
I like
who?
This one.
Like an owl.
I like this.
Hello.
That was at the end with Zial. He's like,
hello.
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 Robot. Okay.
Why
so
am I here?
We have
why
to talk
am I here?
About this B story. For a little bit of background, if folks have only watched this episode and aren't familiar with some of the previous stuff, long story short, Kira comes across Zial at a prisoner camp. Zial is the daughter of Gul Dukat and
we don't
and
know
a Bajoran woman.
We don't know who though.
Somebody. Yeah, but it's a Bajoran woman, and so she's comes from both Bajoran and Cardassian cultures.
She's a Havzi.
And so she she is of mixed race origin. And so she doesn't fit in, you know, a lot of places.
Isn't
you know?
He a little old for her? Like, how old is
okay.
she?
Okay, well, no, we're gonna.
I mean, I know they're not saying they necessarily, look, no, they no, didn't, no. Wait. I know they're not saying that necessarily they had some kind of romantic thing, but still, she seems like, she's probably like a teenager.
Okay.
And he's what, like 45?
Okay, you've come.
How old do Cardassians live? Okay. How long do they live? How old do they get? I'm going to look that up right now.
You look that up because you've gotten very excited for something that is actually the core part of this discussion, because there's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that was going on here. But first,
Cardassians of all races have an
of all races.
Okay. Have an average lifespan of 98 years for men and 96 for women. The highest recorded age attained by a Cardassian is 144.
Okay. So I'm giving the character background and then we can give the behind the scenes background.
So they live like people.
The character background is Zial is, you know, effectively Kira rescued her.
Right. I remember
her,
that. We saw
station.
That episode. Didn't we see that episode? Wasn't that an episode?
Sounds familiar.
I mean,
yeah.
We didn't do it on the podcast.
I mean, no. I didn't mean we do it. That was an episode of
DS9.
I've seen that.
Yes,
episode.
It was.
Yeah.
It was a whole episode.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I was asking.
Was
his character
a whole
did not
other
come from nothing.
Episode.
I was. This is what I was asking.
Okay, look, we only have a little bit of a time left. And there's a lot to discuss about this particular thing.
This is important. This means something. This is important.
Now I want to see Close Encounters of the Third Kind. All of a sudden.
That's a really good scene.
It is a good scene. It's a good movie. Beep, boop, beep, boop, boop.
Beep, boop, beep, boop, beep.
So Kira brings Zial for protection, basically, back to the station. That's why she's very protective of her. Quite literally, that's what she's taken on this job of taking care of this young woman who has this difficult background with a terrible father, was in a prison camp for a while, all that stuff.
Pretty
so,
terrible.
There's that. Now, meanwhile, Garrick is one of Gul Dukat's sworn enemies, quite likely killed Gul Dukat's father, Zial's grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
That's not made 100% clear in the show. In some of the novels, there's more details on what goes on there. But so it's not just that Garak is some rando Cardassian on the station. He's actually a longtime family enemy. Mm-hmm. And that's why he's paranoid that Zial is interested in killing him. Okay.
And I mean, plus he's in the Obsidian Order, which you got to get used to feeling like that.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, all that's going on. That's the character setup. Now, here's the behind the scenes stuff.
Now,
share the heat with me.
The behind the scenes stuff is that
share the heat with me.
And you hear different
that
things.
That sounds like a good techno song, actually.
It does, yeah.
Share the heat with me.
It just made me think. It made me think. Share
you
the,
should do that.
Share the heat, not the meat.
Oh, yeah. Share the meat. Oh, yeah,
share the heat, not the meat.
Oh, yeah. And he's like,
taste the meat.
He gets on the phone. I'm sorry. I assure you it wasn't.
That gull ain't right.
And then, like, he didn't talk. And then he's like, well, I hope you'll come back, be our customer again sometime. Yeah. Sorry, that's totally not funny unless you've seen it.
Yes.
But, yeah.
People should watch King
of
the Hill.
But, like, the fear was his. It was funny because Hank Hill was afraid that that the guy said
lose a customer by saying the slogan wrong,
which is ridiculous. But then
it was right.
He lost the customer.
He was right. Okay. That's the King of the Hill minute.
Okay, King of the Hill minute.
But so that's the character setup. But behind the scenes, and you do hear different stories from different people. I can't vouch for what's apocryphal, what's real. But
sabotage.
We've heard many times before that Andrew Robinson was interested in sort of playing up Garak's attraction to Bashir. That Garak didn't only have a platonic friendship with Bashir, but there was some degree of. He was charmed by this young, genetically engineered, sexy boy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's point number one. The higher ups,
okay, let's do it.
The higher ups, by all accounts, didn't like this. If this is, you know, if what we've heard is true, they weren't into this. And whether or not this was their motivation, some people have suggested that the motivation for trying to introduce this Garak Zial relationship was from up on high.
Was to make everyone clear that he wasn't gay.
Queers in Star Trek.
Exactly, right? Now,
we have to explicitly say he's not gay.
Now, is that true? I don't know 100%. Is it plausible? Fuck yeah, it's plausible.
Are you
because
into
that's,
aliens?
That's,
you gotta be into female
that's how,
aliens.
That's unfortunately how a lot of TV and media works, right? That you just, especially in the 90s, they're like, well, heaven forbid if we show somebody who has even a slightly different sexual perspective.
Completely unacceptable.
It's particularly interesting given the plot of this episode.
This is wrong.
Which is trying to at least present a sympathetic version of the idea that if you just because you disagree with the Federation doesn't mean
you're
a bad person. But anyway, so, okay. They introduced this relationship. Now, what we've also heard is that Andrew Robinson was not a fan of this storyline, in part, Dan, because he was like, I'm three times this person's age.
Yeah.
And I'm a lizard monster.
Yeah. Like, did you see? I like this. By the way, the saunas, they look like a couple of lizards laying on a rock.
Yeah.
That obviously was what they were going for, but it was so great.
That was clever, right?
Yeah, it was. They're just like laying
But so
on a hot
Andrew
rock.
Robinson was already like grossed out and skeeved out by this story. So he was given the lines. His job was to read the lines. But he might have even stated this outright. I don't recall that he purposefully played it. As platonic as he could, so that he focused on
it's just a crazy idea.
He focused on the Garak's desire for some Cardassian company, but not necessarily romantic. That his,
share the heat with me.
That his attachment was more platonic. Now, you know, as the storyline goes on, you know, it ebbs and flows a little bit in terms of the romance or no romance, but at least that's some of the thing going on there. But otherwise, you know, this is a fairly slight little B story in a very interesting story.
It's like the most flummoxed we ever see Garak, really.
He is.
I mean, we've seen him pissed off like once or twice, right? He's gotten like super amped up, you know, but this time he was like, ugh.
Yeah,
he was
right. So there's that scene with Quark and like he's being all like.
I love the interplay in that scene. Yeah. Like,
I wish you'd said that before. Yeah. It's much simpler when the customer explains what he wants.
That line
just make it look better.
That line hit home. I was like, I know, man.
Yeah,
real.
But
I like when and he goes up to Kira comes in and like she all manhandles Garak, and
manhandle.
Yeah, and then Quark is all like,
"You told her."
Doesn't that sound weird?
You told her. You told her.
It sounds like you're playing a sound backwards.
Yeah,
you
right.
Told her.
Doesn't it sound like
you told her?
Well, let's see what it is. Here's what it is backwards.
We're all the way up at Twin Peaks. Do you have any quotes from Zial? Because the other behind the scenes thing about this episode was that Zial was played by a million different people.
Oh, was?
Well, by three. Three different actresses.
I like how she
three different actors.
I like how she says this line.
You could always call security.
I don't know. Yeah. The way she pronounces security.
So, first, Zial was originally... She was originally played by, I think it's pronounced Sia Batten in Indiscretion and Return to Grace. So two episodes, the original actor, Sia Batten, played Zial. Then... In this episode, and for the cause, this is Tracy Middendorf.
Oh, you were saying...
She only played this part once.
For some reason, I thought you meant there was different actors in the same episode. I was like, what?
No, that would be wild. No,
I don't know why I was thinking that.
But after this episode, Melanie Smith started playing Zial in Purgatory's Shadow, for like five episodes after that. So she played Zial for the remaining, for the next six episodes.
Morgan.
So Tracy Middendorf. You were thinking of Daria Morgendorfer.
I totally was.
Tracy Middendorf. Nothing against this actor, but I don't know. There was something about her cadence was really, really odd. Not bad. It was just peculiar.
I would just play what I played before.
Right. You could always call security.
Something about the way she pronounced it.
And then that other line you played about the sharing the heat has a odd into hot.
Share the heat with me.
Yeah. This sounds like a techno song.
It's absolutely
some house music. Lizard House.
Yeah, I like how Cardassians flirt.
I don't think I'll hurt you.
I don't think I'll hurt you.
You're not going to hurt me, are you?
That's just pickup lines. You're not going to hurt me. Yeah. And then the way they topped it off to let each other know that they liked each other. They were like,
"You have nothing to fear from me."
And he was like,
"And you, my dear, have nothing to fear from me."
So the Cardassian flirting begins with, "I'm not gonna fuck you up," and then it ends with, "Like, you don't have to be scared." And then there, I know
it's
there was
like, "I don't need this weapon."
I mean, maybe there was more at work with it, but that just to me it came off as Cardassian flirting. But I know they have a special relationship that's adversarial to begin with. But you know, I can imagine a Cardassian being like that.
Let the Maquis know we're ready for any trouble.
Any trouble? Sisko has such cool clothes, especially in that scene where he already knows Cassidy's up to something, and he's like cooking that linguine stuff.
You're talking about the Bajoran Rotomba stew.
Well, I mean, I know this is a podcast.
Bajoran Rotomba stew over spinach linguine.
But when he's cooking that, he's got that cool vest that is like a black vest with gold on it, and then he's wearing like this cool like white pirate shirt underneath.
And Jake was all go first, Cassidy. She's like, no, thank you. They were all like scared of his cooking. And I was like, what? Why would you be scared of Benjamin Sisko's cooking?
Isn't he supposed to be good?
The thing about that scene is I had another Sisko face acting moment, because he's looking over at Cassidy and Jake having this playful like family moment, and he's so sad because he's like, fuck man, Jake really likes this lady, I like this lady.
Oh yeah.
And so he was that moment where he should be so charmed, he should be so happy in that moment that he has a new person in his life, a new potential partner, long-term partner who his son loves and gets along with, and that's such a wonderful thing. And this is all happening minutes after he found out that she was probably a criminal.
He also had that a similar sort of like thing going on when he was trying to get her to not go on the Zoza that night. At the very end, he goes, like he laughs, and you can see like it's that kind of weird manic Sisko laugh. But right before it, you can tell like he's like, fuck it, you know. It's a real bummer. Like,
And I also like a similar thing was when they were having that meeting and everyone was discussing the deal, and Dax was trying to like make him feel better by saying like, well, you know, it's only medical supplies and stuff. And like she even stayed after when everyone else left, and she was trying to do her standard like, oh, I'm going to stay after and I'm going to talk with you. And Sisko just gave her a look. that was just like, get the fuck out.
And yeah. And also,
like, I'm not in the mood to be cheered up.
Also on the with Kira, he was saying something like, he fooled me, right?
Fooled you. Spaceballs.
You fooled me.
After he said that, she was like, well, they fooled all of us. But then after that, he goes something like, I'm the one who's in charge or something, yeah. Basically saying, like, demanding that
I'm the decider.
Yeah. I'm looking it up right now. The truth is, he fooled me and he got away with it. He fooled all of us. Everything that happens on the station is my responsibility. Basically being like, it's all me. I'm going to absorb all of this. So like he was guilty or something.
Well, and the thing is that this story is just the first part.
The first part. Get out of here. Get out of here, you.
Of this story, because there is some more that happens with Sisko and Eddington. And it's fascinating. I hope we get to discuss that episode sometime in the not too distant future, because, where things go. And it was really clever how Eddington didn't go into his, he remember how Eddington was all like, let's set aside my personal reasons for this. Are you cool with that? Because they go into Eddington's personal reasons and it turns into sort of a Moby Dick thing for Sisko. And it really starts to challenge what we think of in Sisko in terms of what obsessions he has and how that can be, you know, how some of his good qualities can be twisted into bad qualities, depending on which direction they're being pointed.
White whale.
Here's some Zial quotes that you were asking earlier, Patrick, right?
Mm. Hello. Great. It's very nice. I don't care. Excuse me? I don't think I'll hurt you. You have nothing to fear from me. You could always call security. Share the heat with me.
I don't think I'll.
That was all. That
security,
was all. Her.
Security.
Apparently, Tholians are very punctual.
That's what they said. Yeah.
I'm going to start taking notes of like
was
all
it
the
Tholians or Bolians. Was she meeting Tholians or Bolians?
Tholians.
She had a Bolian, but she was meeting
a
Tholian.
So I think a Bolian on board.
I got you.
I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to start taking note of every little bit of lore, including names of items and like food items and animal items and little factoids like about Tholians.
Bolians.
In this episode, they introduced Kaverian tiger bat, Temecli. Virus, Makapa bread or Makabu bread.
Or Maka root bread is another option. I think we should keep that on the table.
Bajoran Rotomba stew and Tabalian glass, which Garrick was clear as when Kira was telling
was
him to be telling him not to fuck with Zial. Yeah.
What about these spinach linguine?
Oh, it was dampered and dampener. Remember? That was what we were having the argument about, where I said it was damper and you guys said it was dampener. This was because I was talking.
This was about the closed captioning. Right?
This was like how the same as the Makabu bread was like. I read it one way.
Oh, I see.
They were the same on closed captioning as they were on the Chakotea.net, and doesn't sound like that's what they're saying. And so that was with Makabu bread, just like it was dampener. I said it was damper, and it was spelled damper, and you guys insisted that it's dampener, and people went back and forth on it. I think
it was a good time.
Good times were had by all.
I think that pretty much does
it. All right, that's enough.
All right, you two, break it up.
Any final little points, anything?
Points these nuts.
I think we got in, I got in all the ones that I wanted to talk about. Okay, that was a great episode for the cause.
Pretty good.
I'm happy, Dan, that your algorithm selected that.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, we don't know yet.
You don't know.
Oh, yeah, they had one more.
Because the algorithm has to take this episode and then tell us what to watch next week. I don't even know what show we're going to watch because we're about even on all the episodes, so it could be any series.
They did the give Worf the incorrect opinion or suggestion thing. They did that in here.
Oh, yeah.
Odo
yeah.
said, "This is wrong. Terrorists don't work this way. If your contact doesn't show up for a rendezvous, you leave. You don't stay in the Badlands going in circles for 5 hours." And then Worf was like, "Perhaps, but it is also possible that her cargo is so valuable to the Maquis that she will wait as long as it takes to make the delivery." You know,
which
actually,
was right.
That's, actually, you know, now that you mention it, that
Penny said that
both of them are right. Because I don't think that's what Worf meant, but like Odo kind of took something Worf said, and then so I take that
Odo,
back.
Odo was the one that did kind of figure it out.
He figured it out.
He was like, Sisko's the cargo.
Yeah,
the
it's like you're right about the cargo's valuable, but you probably had something else in mind.
Yeah, yeah.
So I take it back. Actually, I'm wrong. That was actually a Worf. Well, it was still Worf kind of didn't get it. I mean, so, you know.
Worf kind of didn't get it.
At the beginning scene when they were sitting at the conference table all looking around, he just looked so stiff. Just like it actually looked like like he was zoned out. If a Klingon could like daydream, it looked like he was daydreaming.
He was having an off day because he wasn't sure which episode it was, whether it was episode 21 or 22.
Oh, no.
Very confusing. In fact, I saw one place that called it
episode 23. Oh, come on.
Yeah, one place called it episode 23, and I was like, come on. That doesn't make any sense. Okay, but what does make sense is us ending this episode.
That's it.
That's all she wrote. Keep an eye on our social media or website to learn what we will be discussing next week. To do that, you can go to www.itsgotstartrek.com. You can go to @itsgotstartrek on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Mastodon, Blue
Sky, that's right, you did say that.
Threads, Instagram, all that stuff. Check us out there. Follow us. Join us in conversation. Interact with us. We would love that. And of course, please, if you haven't already, go check out our Patreon page. We're adding stuff each and every week. And that's patreon.com/itsgotstartrek. Easy to find. We make it easy for you.
We make it easy for you.
We hope you enjoy.
We make it easy for you.
And we're not stupid.
We make it easy for you.
I was just kidding.
We make it easy for you.
All right, that's enough.
We make it easy for you.
All right, you two, break it up.
We make it easy for you.
There's three of us.
Pass.
We make it easy for you.
You are evil.
We make it easy for you.
I don't care.
Again, I think you practiced that for hours at home to get it just right.
No.
All right. Well, more of this type of business next week. We'll talk to you later.
We'll have to continue this debate another time.
Yes. Indeed, we will. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I feel much better.
You too.
Isn't it obvious? If Zial planned to kill me, Kira would not be trying to warn me away. On the contrary, the good major would also welcome my untimely demise and do nothing to interfere.
Unless that's part of the plan.
What do you mean?
Oh, you know, Kira acts like she doesn't want you to go, so you'll feel everything's okay, and then you go anyway. Nah, it's too complicated.